You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
It's time for the Mitch Henderson Show. Let's go live to the Alchemist and Barrister on Witherspoon Street in Princeton. Here's your host, Derek Jones.
Good evening and welcome to downtown Princeton, New Jersey. This is the Mitch Henderson Show on 920 Fox Sports Radio. I'm Derek Jones, along for the ride with you until 7 p.m. We are here with you from the Alchemist and Barrister each and every Tuesday night for the Mitch Henderson Show, and a special guest tonight because Coach Henderson is out on the road doing his thing, recruiting, and we are honored to be joined right now by the associate head coach, Brett McConnell. Coach, welcome in.
Thanks for having me here, Derek.
When you examine the first half, 10-point edge for Penn early on, and it seemed like they really had firm control of the game. How were you able to wrestle it back from them?
You know, a lot of it was us getting back to our defensive principles, our key points on the scout, the discipline that it takes to defend a really good offensive Penn team. And we lost our way a little bit early on, some mental errors, and we got back to our core defensive principles, and it really showed throughout the rest of the game.
Taking a look at some of the numbers from that game in the 62-53 win over the Penn Quakers, who now dropped to 0-2 on the season. Certainly, Richmond Ariri Guzzo played a huge role. We'll talk to another guy who played a huge role in the game as well, Miles Stevens. The leadership of this team really seems to be stepping to the forefront right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that because I actually took Sunday, didn't watch any film Monday, went back in the office, watched the game film, and so many of those leadership moments stood out to me. I actually texted each of our four seniors today at different points in reference to some big moments in the game. And some of it was on the court with their play. Some of it is just the way guys came together in huddles on the court, off the court, taking ownership of mistakes, correcting, and kind of critiquing some of their teammates and giving some good positive feedback as well. So all those things you want to see from your senior leaders in big moments, especially in a rivalry game, Ivy League game, we saw that on Saturday.
Devin Kennedy led the Tigers in scoring with 20, Richmond Ariri Guzzo with 17, and Miles Stevens with 13. They were the three double-figure scorers for the Tigers, A.J. Broder with 16 and Antonio Woods with 12. So only two of really their big guns got going in the contest, but it was not easy for A.J. Broder as that game wore on. What do you feel was the difference with him?
You know, in game one, the majority of that credit went to Richmond Ariri Guzzo for his one-on-one defense, and certainly Richmond played a big part in A.J. going 6-for-17 in game two. But with Richmond in foul trouble, we asked Miles Stevens and Jerome DeRozier to pick up the slack and guard A.J. one-on-one without much help, and those two guys did an excellent job. I don't think he scored in one-on-one situations against either one of those two. So when you have three different guys that can guard, you know, arguably the best player in the league, one of the best players in the league, to be able to guard him one-on-one with multiple options and have a plan B and a plan C when Richmond got in foul trouble was huge.
When did you get the sense, because talking to Coach Henderson last week, he noted how just intense and how much of a battle that game was. When did you sense that you had the game here turned in game two?
You know, it's funny. The way the game was going in the first half, having been down 10, making the mistakes we were making, I remember at the end of the first half, Elijah Barnes secured a big rebound, came in just for 30 seconds and kind of secured that final rebound. And I believe we went into the half tied. And to get a clean slate after performing, I thought, you know, well below our abilities, to get a clean slate to be tied heading into the second half, I just loved the prospects of the second half for us if we could kind of get back to Princeton basketball, specifically on the defensive end. So that was, I think, the first moment I started to feel pretty good about the game. But it clearly hadn't turned until much, much later. And really, I think the deciding play, when it got down to four with a minute 30 left, we drew up something for Richmond to get a post touch. Three quick dribbles. He puts Broder deep into the paint, gets himself a layup. We go up six, and that's really the first time I think we got a chance to exhale.
And the Tigers certainly overcame a big-time struggle to start the game shooting the basketball, as you kind of alluded to there. They missed on 16 of their first 18 shots. How difficult is it to go through that kind of start? And then you have to get the guys kind of out of it, you know, you don't want the players to think, oh, this is going to be one of those days. The team was able to get out of that rut pretty quickly.
You know what's funny? I didn't know that number until after the game, and it kind of blew my mind to hear that we missed 16 of our first 18 shots. I think we all felt like the offense would come around eventually. There were some defensive mistakes we made early that were a big focus of our timeouts and early on in that game, making some corrections there. So I felt the offense was going to come around. We've also it's crazy how you can kind of grow up in the course of a season over a couple weeks. But we had a tough stretch to start the first Penn game. We had our moments against Arizona State. We had our moments against Lafayette. Just on this winning streak alone, where you're in a little bit of a rut, and I think we've developed a mental toughness here. And knock on wood, we can keep that up throughout the rest of the season.
How frustrating is it now that you've built up so much equity here in terms of really win after win here, four straight wins for the Tigers, and now there's a break here until A, your next game, and B, until your next Ivy game as well.
I know. That's like the last thing you want with this momentum riding a four-game winning streak is, hey, you have 2 weeks off now. But that's the hand we've been dealt, and we've at least been through it before, and we know what it's going to take. So we'll try to take some positives from it, get some guys healthy, get some guys rest. Obviously, they have academic work to do, but hopefully we can take some positives from it.
Noted that last season, one of the real differences for the Tigers was that in those close games, especially on the road, you weren't able to get those plays strung together to come out with a win, especially in the last portion of the season. How good does it feel to see kind of some of the lessons that were learned last year being paid off and paid forward this year?
No question. It's you learn how to win, and sometimes those good habits can be contagious, and I think we're all excited about the prospects of this kind of becoming our DNA, like having a team that knows how to win close games and embraces being in these type of moments. I think that's another thing you look out at the plays that were made late in these games down the stretch, both the Penn games, from senior leaders who have been there before, Miles and Devin. They wanted the ball in those situations. They want to make the big plays. There's a confidence for them individually, and I think that impacts the entire group to see two seniors confident in these moments.
And one of those seniors, Devin Kennedy, with his 20 points, elevating himself to fifth place all-time on the Princeton all-time scorers list. It's really neat to see him kind of make that progression up the charts.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And not to change the subject, but I'd rather talk about the 12 rebounds.
Yes, we are going to get into rebounding shortly, for sure.
No, we've long known that he can score, and 10 for 10 at the line is like a walk in the park for Devin. So we love seeing that. I know him climbing the leaderboard is fun to watch for the fans as well, too. So we're certainly really excited about that.
Absolutely, as Devin Kennedy helping the Tigers to a 62-53 win on Saturday against Penn. When we come back, we will talk about the aforementioned rebounds, because that was, without a doubt, one of the biggest takeaways and storylines from Saturday's game. The Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game, and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports 920. When we come back, we'll have more with Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell as we take a look more inside of Penn Princeton, the Ivy League, and much more. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Back at the Alchemist and Barrister here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. Derek Jones with you on the Mitch Henderson Show as we bring you a look inside of Princeton Tigers basketball until 7 p.m. tonight, as we get you caught up on all the latest happenings with the Tigers. And we are joined right now by Associate Head Coach Brett McConnell as we recap Princeton's 62-53 win over the Penn Quakers. Without a doubt, when Noah Savage and I got the box score on Saturday after the game finished up, the first thing that almost jumps off the page at you is the 55-34 rebounding edge. We talked a lot about how physical the game was game one. To see that type of rebounding edge, that was really impressive.
That was incredible. That was the same stat that first struck me when I saw the box score after the game. to have 16 offensive rebounds compared to their 27 defensive rebounds, and then to have gotten 39 defensive rebounds, and they had only 7 offensive rebounds. Statistically, that's incredible, and you know, it allows you to survive a night when you don't shoot well. You know, to go 20 of 62 from the field and win a game. I mean, that's largely thanks to our rebounding and our free throw shooting as well.
Absolutely. A couple of Tigers in the mix in terms of double-digit rebounds. Devin Kennedy had 12 for the Tigers, and Miles Stevens with another double-double, his fourth of the season, picking up 10 boards on the evening. And that is even more impressive considering, you know, they don't run out a five-guard lineup by any stretch.
No.
There are some big dudes
no doubt.
In that lineup for Penn.
No doubt. And you know, especially with Miles here in front of us, I want to say this. He got robbed on the stats, by the way, to only have had 10. I mean, he had more than one offensive rebound. He had, you know, it looks like we had 5 team offensive rebounds, and those must have been stolen from him because I thought he certainly had more than one offensive rebound, was skying way above the rim. Devin Kennedy, I mean, same story, incredible. Two-hand rebounds above the rim was really awesome to see. And as you said, this is a really big physical Penn team that we were battling. And to have that advantage on the boards, I'm not sure anybody saw that coming.
And it's really impressive considering how far the team has come versus Penn last year when it was a struggle to get a lot of things done against the Quakers. And now this year to kind of see that come up and come full circle has got to make the coaching staff very proud.
No question. It's certainly been a point of emphasis for us. I think we've long been, throughout Coach Henderson's tenure here, a team that hangs their hat on the defensive rebounds, and our defensive rebounding percentage has been top 25 in the country, maybe 5 of the last 7 years or so. And we lost our way a little bit early in the season, and now we're getting back to that. But the offensive rebounding emphasis has been a really big point that we've worked on here since this season started, and to see it come to fruition is really great.
The Tigers will look to carry that over in a couple of weeks against Division III Wesley as they get set for the back-to-back sessions that will begin on Friday, February 1st on the road at Columbia. And we'll use this opportunity to move in a discussion about the Ivy League. So not much has happened in terms of games played outside of Penn Princeton, but also starting up last Saturday was Harvard and Dartmouth, and Dartmouth got an upset victory over Harvard. They have played well so far this season, and a little bit of a surprise to see them start out so well against Harvard.
Yeah, and you know what? If you followed them in the non-conference slate, it's probably not as surprising. They always play Harvard tough up at Dartmouth. I think they've had some overtime games and probably won one or two over the years too. But Dartmouth has had a really great non-conference season. They've made a ton of threes, led by Brendan Berry, and I think that was the same story versus Harvard, the way they shot the ball. Derek, as I think you probably know, the league overall has had a great non-conference season, and I believe we're up to 10th out of 32 conferences
wow.
in the country. So the Ivy League as a whole has been really impressive.
And we're getting to that time of year where you really start to hone in and see where everyone stands from not only a league perspective, but a national perspective as well, and that's pretty important.
That's right. And, you know, I've said this throughout the years here with some of our different teams. What's funny is sometimes a hot non-conference team, a team that has played well in the non-conference, can come into the Ivy League, and because of the scouting reports and the attention to detail, it can be a different way throughout the conference season, and vice versa. Sometimes a team that has struggled in the non-conference can have a great conference season, and you know, these 14 games are what make or break Ivy League teams, and we're going to learn a lot about each team.
It seems like this year in particular, each team really has not only bellwether guys that they can go to, but guys who really stand out, who could play in other places. It really helps amplify how special the league is right now.
Yeah, I think we have 5 guys on the Henson Award watch list. And to be honest, I think there's a couple guys that could feel a little bit snubbed about that. So as you said, the star power is there, the depth is there, kind of everything you could want for a league is there.
The Dartmouth-Harvard game ended up being 81-63 in favor of the Big Green. Is now coming up this weekend, things kind of turn around towards the rest of the league with Cornell, Columbia, and also Brown and Yale. When you get to that first, and certainly we'll cover it again a little bit when we get closer to it, but when you take a look forward to that first back-to-back session. What do you tell some of your younger guys who have not been through that before, who haven't been through the back-to-backs as far as how they mentally prepare themselves for what will begin really perhaps the toughest stretch of the season?
Well, I think the first kind of teacher or lesson was taught with these two Penn games back-to-back here, because the attention to detail was really important heading into these two games. And each stretch of the game where we kind of lost our way, specifically defensively, it was sort of a slip-up on the attention to detail that went into the scouting report and all the tendencies that we talked about with Penn. Now, what's different is instead of having a week or 2 weeks to prepare, you're going to have 2 days, a Monday and a Tuesday, to prepare for your Saturday opponent, and then you're going to have Wednesday and Thursday to prepare for your Friday opponent. So all that stuff gets crammed in to a shorter period of time. The focus has to probably be even better. You can't pick as many focal points, but you can pick two or three really big picture items on each team, and those freshmen and everybody are going to learn quickly how important it is to keep that attention to detail.
No doubt the Tigers will take on Columbia and Cornell when those back-to-backs start back up on February the 1st and the 2nd. How does a team stay sharp here with the exams kind of mixed in, because that can't be easy?
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, but we'll work really hard on going at a really high intensity when guys are in the gym. It won't be as long. We won't dominate as much of their time. They don't have as much time over these next 2 weeks, but when they're in the gym, they got to go really hard. It's got to be really intense. They got to get that heart rate up. They got to try to work to keep those skills tight. And that'll be the big points of emphasis. We obviously won't do much scout stuff. We won't do much team stuff. It'll be really focused on keeping the individual sharp.
This is kind of the, because of the break, almost like the halfway point, if you will, of the season. What has stood out to you as maybe a big surprise or something that's happened that you weren't expecting from the first portion of this schedule?
I mean, I think the development of Richmond Aririgozo stands out right off the tip of my tongue. It's, not that we didn't see his great potential, but to see it realized as quickly as it has happened this season, and for him to be such an important piece both offensively and defensively for us, that really stands out.
And the Tigers obviously will be looking towards more production from Richmond Aririgozo coming up in a couple of weeks when the Tigers are back on the floor against Wesley and then moving forward in Ivy League play. Coach McConnell, thanks for joining me here this evening.
Thanks so much. Thanks a lot.
We'll use this opportunity to take a quick break, but let's remind you, the Alchemist and Barrister is proud to host the Mitch Henderson Show every Tuesday night. Join us each week for the latest on the Princeton Tigers basketball team. Stop in the A&B all day Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday with a ticket stub from any Princeton men's or women's 2018-19 home basketball game and enjoy a free order of Alchemist and Barrister signature nachos. Stay tuned. We will have more headed your way in just a few moments. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920. More from downtown Princeton in just a few moments with a couple of special guests. Stay tuned.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
Welcome back to the Alchemist and Barrister right here in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Derek Jones with you, and we are joined right now by two very special guests from the Princeton basketball team. It's Noah Bramlage and Miles Stevens. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
And when we take a look at what happened last Saturday against the Penn Quakers, obviously a tough start for the Tigers. How did you guys find a way to turn things around on the floor?
We've been in this position a lot. We've been here for 4 years now. We know when we go to the Palestra, it's going to be a hard-fought battle. And we just keep solid, stick to our principles. We know that defense gets us back in the games. And we just do the little things to make sure that we're staying competitive. And we were able to come back.
One of the unique things about having you guys on the show here is that you guys have been roommates for a long time. Noah, what's it been like to watch this guy and practice play against him over the years?
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, we've grown a lot. I remember taking my official visit with Miles in high school when we were seniors, and then to show up as freshmen. We roomed together at school and then on the road whenever we go on Ivy weekends or in the non-conference. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Like, you learn a lot about each other. We have our own routines. Like, we know how to work around each other. It's just been a lot of fun. Like, you know, over time, you get to know each other really well.
How much do you guys relish what you're about to experience here, back-to-backs coming up after you get through the Wesley game in a few weeks? What's that experience on the road going to be like?
This is our we call it the farewell tour. This is our last time around going back-to-backs. I mean, there it's a special experience, right? A lot of college players don't do back-to-backs. And it's kind of cool and interesting in a way, playing Friday night, traveling, then playing Saturday again, then rooming with this guy, which I've been doing since freshman year. I mean, it's a little bittersweet, but we're also, you know, excited that we get to do it one last time and hopefully accomplish our team goals in the process.
You guys have gotten a chance to experience so much with this program during your time with the team. What stands out to you about this particular group of guys that you have that have been able to accomplish a lot of great things over the last four games in particular?
I think we're very heavily connected as a group. I think freshman through senior, we've developed really close relationships, even with the very young guys in a short amount of time. And I also think that there's a high level of trust between the upperclassmen and the younger guys. They can look to us for guidance and leadership, and they can also look to us to help them through like some of the early struggles early on in your career, in terms of just adjusting to the offense, adjusting to the school and the academics. So I would say that's the biggest thing. Is that was a point that we made coming into the season, that we were going to make sure that everyone felt comfortable and welcomed, and that they could look to us as like a resource and a friend.
And that's a pretty important concept. As you said, when you go through the tough times, and you guys have had some bumps in the road this season, if there's one thing you guys could pick out here that has made the difference as far as the turnaround over the last four games in particular, what would that be?
Oh, that's actually a good question. I guess it would be a couple things. On the court, obviously our defense has gotten a lot better. We've kind of honed in on some details, the scout, and then just kind of the know-how factor of playing defense, which comes with basketball. And then what Noah kind of said, again, is kind of like this being connected, and you know, we've had a couple team meetings and meetings amongst the players, and we've just talked about if we want to be successful in the Ivy League, we have to be the best team. And I think that's really hit home with a lot of guys, and being the best team in terms of our camaraderie, and togetherness is a word we use a lot. And that's kind of helped us a lot going through these four games. And I think it's given us confidence going into the rest of the season.
You mentioned the scout and the preparation. Noah, you play a big role with that in particular. Talk to me about the importance of getting the team ready on a game-to-game basis. Certainly, it's an even more of a bigger challenge during non-league play because there's not a lot of familiarity with the opponents.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, like, we watch film on opposing teams, and usually Brett will, like, talk to me ahead of the game to, like, let me know, like, who I'll be playing. Within the league, it's really been effective because I'm very similar player type to A.J. Brodeur. And then when Brian left Princeton and went to Cornell, they were running our offense. And Columbia's always ran a fashion of the Princeton offense. So, I mean, pretty much half the league. And then Diamond Stone Stone Gettings was at Cornell. So there are a lot of guys that, like, I can emulate in practice and try to make sure that I'm giving – like the starters and the rotation guys the best look possible. And it's been a lot of fun, to be honest with you. I mean, after a while you start to pick up moves and like you start to like add things to your game that actually other players do. So it's sort of fun and exciting in that way. But I think it's absolutely pivotal to our success. And like the last 2 weeks playing Penn in practice and how well our scout team did, I think was like a testament to what sort of effect that can have on our team's success.
Miles, how about his efforts in terms of getting the team ready? And I've seen some of the practices over the course of the year, and that's really an invaluable tool as you make your journey throughout the year.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, Noah's the number one scout guy. If the opposing team has a big that's the go-to guy, Noah's always that guy. Without him, I don't think we go 2-0 these past 2 weeks. It's just like pivotal to our success. I think giving us those looks and beating us up in practice, and sometimes it's even harder in practice than it is in games. You just want to the way he emulates moves and the way he's able to score and facilitate the ball. It really helps us get ready for the games. It helps the young guys a lot who don't know what to expect, and it helps the old guys refresh their memory on these guys. And I think him, Vito, and some of the older guys on the team as well. I mean, it's just huge, and we really appreciate what they're doing. They don't hear it a lot. We tell them, and coach tells them in practice, but not everyone hears the kind of behind the scenes what goes on, and it's really big, really pivotal to our success.
And one thing that perhaps kind of helped out in that regard, you take a look at the rebounding and the tough physical play of the Tigers, out-rebounding Penn 55-34. That takes just a massive team effort to be able to dominate a team like that on the boards who, as Noah mentioned, you know, they have some big guys in the post that are very difficult to compete against. What made the difference in terms of on the glass and in the paint?
The past couple weeks or so, ever since kind of starting in December, we've kind of put an emphasis on rebounding. We were struggling with that a little before, at the end of November, beginning of December. We put an emphasis on that. We've been working on it in practice, holding guys accountable, writing stats on the board. And I think it's really helped. These guys are, raking their arms, illegal box outs and all this, and I think it just really helps. And we're seeing the results, and now that we see the results, hopefully going forward, we know that, hey, rebounds, they win games.
Noah, when you take a look at the first half of the season, certainly one of the guys who has stood out a great deal has been Richmond Ariri Guzzo. What have you seen from him from the offseason and on the court to kind of aid his development?
Richmond plays hard every single day. He's committed to improving the skills necessary in order to be an effective center in this offense. When he came in as a freshman, he was a bit raw, and I think he would tell you that as well. But over time, he's developed four or five post moves that he can rely upon to score pretty consistently. He's learned to stay down on ball fakes in the post. He's become much more disciplined. I think in the past, our struggles have been with centers is just foul trouble and being able to defend in the post. And even in seasons past, we've tried to double the post because that was one of our weaknesses as a team. But this season, having Richmond be able to guard people one-on-one in the post and trust that he's going to shut down the other team's best big guy takes a lot of pressure off the rest of the defense, and it makes us an immensely better defensive team. His growth has been exponential the last couple of years, and I think what we're seeing in the last five or six games is sort of a sign of how far he's come, but I think it's also he started to develop the confidence, having played a lot of minutes and having gotten the opportunity to really show what he can do. I think the confidence is sort of meeting all the hard work he's done over the last 3 years, and it's creating a perfect storm and making him into one of the best big guys in the league.
And that's one of the things that has really stood out as we have watched here this season, especially in the last two games. Penn has pretty good big guys. In fact, A.J. Broder was the most outstanding player of the Ivy League tournament a season ago. Miles, how much – Noah mentioned it a little bit. How much pressure does that take off the team on both sides, on offense and defense? Because on the rebounding side, too, having somebody down low who's that big of a body can certainly take a lot of pressure off of the other players who go in there and dive in for rebounds as well.
Yeah, I mean Noah put it perfectly. And offensively, he also takes a lot of pressure off us. If our shots aren't falling, we shoot a lot of threes, they're not falling, it's always easy. It's always easy to relieve pressure, to throw it into Rich in the post and know that he can go to work. And if they double him, that makes it easier for us. So the better he gets, the better we get. And defensively, I mean, he's 6'9", he's long, he's athletic, he can block shots, he can alter shots. And it just makes everything easier for the rest of us knowing that, hey, if we get blown by, let's go in for the rebound because Richmond's going to block that shot.
Richmond Ariri Guzzo, a big part of Princeton's success so far. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more with Miles Stevens and Noah Bramlage right here as a part of the Mitch Henderson Show from The Alchemist and Barrister. This is Fox Sports, The Jersey, 920. Stay tuned. More headed your way from downtown Princeton after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Back here at the Alchemist and Barrister in downtown Princeton, New Jersey. This is the Mitch Henderson Show on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. And we are joined by Miles Stevens and Noah Bramlage. Gentlemen, one of the key turning points of the season a few weeks ago at Arizona State, and you both had certainly a bird's eye view, if you will, of that game. Down the end of the game, actually, let's go back to the first half of that contest. The Tigers really established control of the game early on. What were your feelings as that game wore on, and what, in your view, was the difference?
Well, I think coming out strong against a team like that is really important. Coming out, hitting them first, I think, showing them that you're there to play and that you mean business, I think that's important going down the stretch. And I also think coming out in the second half, that first 4 minutes is also super important, because that's a lot of times that's where we tend to lose focus, and we kept our focus and we made it a close game. I think if we can get past those first 4 minutes in the second 4 minutes in the second half, that's when we were at our best, and we were able to do that. And guys stepped up. Devin made big shots. Richmond made big shots, big free throws. Sebastian made big shots, and that's what it takes to win.
The idea of kind of keeping guys up in games like that, especially when you're going through a game where you're playing in front of 10,000 people. Noah, how important is it to keep guys engaged when things maybe aren't going so well for them as the game wears on?
Yeah, I think it's important to, obviously, like you said, it's a large atmosphere. There are a lot of distractions. I think the focus has to be, when we're in the huddles, on one another, and instilling confidence in one another, and making sure that you, when the going gets rough, or you're in, you know, it's a game of runs, and, you know, an explosive offensive team like Arizona State, like, they're susceptible to go on a 10-0 run. And so when we get into a huddle, just making sure that everyone takes a deep breath, and that everyone knows that, like, this is the point where the game can turn, and we have to just buckle down and have to, like, really look into each other's eyes and see confidence in one another, because you can sort of lose yourself. You can't have anyone going the other way and, like, trying to take quick shots or trying to get back into the game too quickly. And I think, like, we did a good job of just controlling the pace, forcing them to guard on defense for extended periods of time. And to be honest, we made them take pretty bad shots. I mean, the only person that really hurt us was their big, who I think had a double-double in the first half. But outside of him, we made Remy Martin take tough shots. I think that game, something we did especially well was Mozgov's around the rim, where you go straight up and you don't foul when they take layups that are contested. And they ended up missing, I think, a lot of shots around the rim because they were heavily contested, but we weren't fouling. And so guys really just kept their composure, and they knew we had been in some big games earlier on in the season, and we were like, we knew that this team wasn't too much better than us, so down the stretch we knew we could play with them if we just stay in the game long enough.
Miles, unfortunately, you weren't able to play in that game. Was that frustrating at all, not to be out there kind of in the mix with your teammates?
It definitely was a little bit frustrating at first, but then as the game went on, it was actually it was exciting. I was excited to see guys step up. Elijah came into the game and had big defensive stops. Jalen's taking care of the ball with Remy Martin, dogging him all the way up the court. Devin's hitting shots as usual. Richmond, I mean, everyone did the little things to help win. Jerome is getting multiple rebounds over bigs, and I think just those little things, the little details, I say that a lot, but it's important. Those things are really what helps you win, and everyone was so locked in, and that's a testament to Noah, Elias, and some of the guys on the bench, and it was kind of my turn to play that part. But just keeping everyone locked in, engaged, letting them know, hey, you know, it's the game. We've got 4 minutes. Stay focused, and we can win this thing.
One of the big parts of that trip was Bill Walton being out there, and Miles, last season at USC, he said, I believe on the air, he said, Miles Stevens is the Tiger. What was it like meeting Bill Walton once again?
I mean, it's awesome. Bill, he's a big personality, great guy. I mean, he sat down the night before and talked with all of us. And I mean, as soon as we won, we got into the locker room and we just started chanting, "We want Bill, we want Bill." And he came in and he gave us this great post-game speech about everything and anything. And it's just awesome to have a guy like that in our corner, especially, you know, he's an NBA legend, a great. And it's always great to have someone like that on your side, and especially when you win.
Noah, that has to give a lot of confidence, not only to the veterans, but the younger guys, too, who are just getting used to being in the program from an on-the-floor game perspective, and now they're having an opportunity to see kind of the hard work play out into fruition on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think you don't know really what to expect when you come in as a freshman, and you also don't know how much of a difference there is between us and other teams that we play in the non-conference. I think the past two seasons we've had some success in the non-conference against teams that are quote-unquote like of a higher level, and I think Arizona State was the perfect win to show us exactly how good we can be when we play to our potential, and I think that's important from a confidence standpoint for younger players. And it's just an invaluable amount of experience for someone that's going to continue, like Jalen, for example, that's going to continue to learn and grow and experience that adversity, but to continue to power forward and be able to learn from those experiences.
How much do you guys remember from your freshman year and Ivy League play in your first go-around in the Ivy League? What stood out to you when you first experienced Ivy League play?
Well, the first thing I remember, and I was talking to this with Devin the other day, is we played Penn and we won. It was a close game and everyone was really excited in the locker room, and we were kind of just sitting there like, why is everyone so happy? We just won a game. And then, you know, 13 games later, you're playing, you're 12-11-2, and if you win this game, you could possibly go to the tournament. If not, you don't go. And Yale ended up winning, and they ended up going to the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, you just don't know how hard it is to win as a freshman and what it takes. And those back-to-back road games, it takes a little bit to get used to. But just knowing as a freshman, like, you just don't know anything. I mean, we use that term a lot, but we learn as we grow. And what I like about this year is that the guys are growing quickly. The young guys are coming along. They're following our lead, and they're teaching us things as well. And that's what I think is going to make us good.
Noah, how about on your end?
I think in terms of freshman year in the conference, I distinctly remember sitting in the locker room at Harvard after we lost that game. I remember especially looking at the faces of the seniors that sort of knew what the deal was, and like just of Mike Washington, and then of the other guys that were juniors that really understood like the gravity of what was happening. It's just intense disappointment. You also learn very quickly that there are no easy games. You could play Harvard on a Friday and then show up and, you know, at Dartmouth on Saturday night and get their best game of the season. And we were very good early on in Miles and I's career as a team. And so early on we realized that we were going to take other teams' best shots. And it was just shocking to me to see, you know, if you play a team twice a year, how well you can scout them and how much that can close the gap between, like, quote-unquote talent. And it really makes the league incredibly competitive.
And that's one of the interesting and unique things about this moving forward. You guys have experienced really the two versions of the Ivy League, tournament and non-tournament. What are your thoughts on, having gone through both, what are your thoughts on tournament play in the Ivy League?
I mean, obviously, I think the tournament takes a lot of pressure off everyone. It's kind of fun. We get to experience what the rest of the country experiences in a conference tournament. Lots of media coverage. It was really fun. And I think in terms of the difference, you kind of get leeway on some games. You know, you don't have to go 12-2 in the league to win and go to the tournament. So I think in that sense, it's a lot of teams like it, a lot of guys like it.
Noah, how about on your end?
I think it's instilled, it's allowed teams to have much more of a growth mindset, because I think the concern in years past was once we get to league play, you have to be playing your best basketball, and that's something that's very difficult to do in January. And so I think it's more realistic and it's much more like the rest of the country to allow teams to, you know, take the time to develop throughout the season and focus on playing their best basketball in March. I think it's been really beneficial for us because many times you're allowing people to, like, establish their roles on the team, to develop, to get some confidence in the non-conference. And so it's allowed us to be a little bit more flexible in terms of getting younger guys minutes, getting other people opportunities to, like, show what they can do earlier on in the season, and not having this constant concern that once we play Penn in early January, we have to be a finished product. So I think it's been very helpful for our mindset and also for our development.
Before we close things out, this is a unique period for the players because now you turn the focus a little bit away from the Ivy League and obviously a lot towards the classroom. How about some of the finals and getting ready for the thesis? On the academic side, what's this next couple of weeks going to be like for both of you?
Not easy. I mean, today is Dean's date, which is a week before finals. And so I turned in two papers today and have to turn around and turn in two more papers next week. Luckily, I don't have any in-class finals, but a lot of the guys have – some guys have finals tomorrow, some have them Friday, some have them next week, along with papers. It's a pretty stressful time for Princeton students, but we signed up for it when we came here, and it's our last go-around, kind of, so we're ready for it, and we're kind of embracing it now as the last hurrah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, like Miles said, it is a little bit of a stressful time. You know, once you get to this point in your academic career, like, you sort of know the drill, but it doesn't necessarily make it any easier because every time it hits you and you have to go through it. But, you know, just knowing that it's our second to last set of finals, it's sort of like motivating, and you know you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's good. It's good for us to shift gears a little bit, and it almost breaks the season in two a little bit, which we probably wouldn't have liked so much this season since we have so much momentum right now. But it does give you the chance to rest your legs, to rest your body, and focus on something a little bit different. And it allows us to, when we come back for practice, really appreciate our teammates and the coaches more and really appreciate the opportunity we have in front of us after, you know, having had a couple days away.
Well, gentlemen, best of luck to you, obviously on the basketball court, but also over the next couple of weeks in the classroom as well.
Thank you.
This is the Mitch Henderson Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920. We're going to close it out from the Alchemist and Barrister right after this.
And now, more of the Mitch Henderson Show with Derek Jones on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Wrapping up from the Alchemist and Barrister in Princeton, New Jersey, this is the Mitch Henderson Show as we bring you a look at Princeton Tigers basketball. Before we send it out of here from downtown Princeton, New Jersey, a couple of quick reminders. The Tigers will not be back in action now because of the layoff until Sunday, January 27th, when they take on the Division III Wesley College Wolverines out of Dover, Delaware. So we will see what Wesley has in store for Princeton when they make the trip into Jadwin on January the 27th. And then, of course, from there, the Tigers with four straight away games, Columbia, Cornell, Yale, and Brown over February 1st to 2nd, and then the 8th to the 9th as they get set for Ivy League play. And as certainly we heard from Miles and Noah and also from Coach McConnell, The Ivy League, there's no question about this. It's a big challenge this year because it's chock full right now with very talented teams. When you take a look at, obviously, the performance of Dartmouth and what they were able to do last Saturday against Harvard, no matter what's going on with Harvard from an injury standpoint, and obviously they have some question marks that are health-related, that is an impressive win to beat a Tommy Amaker-led operation by 18 points, whether it's home, away, neutral, whatever the case is, in Ivy League. That's pretty impressive. So Dartmouth, who is now 10-7 on the season, they will be back in 2 weeks to take on and finish up that home-and-home series against Harvard. So it will be very intriguing to see how that plays out. And then the rest of the league jumps back into matters in unison this coming weekend as you get Yale taking on Brown as they go with their home-and-home end first in Providence, Rhode Island, as the Yale Bulldogs bring in their 10-3 mark against Brown, who by the metrics, they have the top record in the Ivy League in terms of non-league play coming in with a 12-4 mark. So they have been pretty impressive, led by the guard Desmond Cambridge, who has been amazing. He was amazing against Princeton last season, especially at Jadwin Gymnasium. And then Cornell and Columbia will meet for the first time this season coming up on Saturday as well. This is such an exciting time of the season as we start to slowly but surely make our way towards the beginning of February and Ivy League play. And, you know, it's going to be, and we haven't really talked about it here, and we'll touch on it here in the waning moments of the show, with Penn going to 0-2 now, again, as a defending Ivy League champion. If I told you at the beginning of the season that they'd lose two games to Princeton, you might have been a little surprised, but I think the concept of them losing back-to-back games is one thing that we'll have to keep our eye on because I thought one of the notable things out of that was you don't want to be 0-2 and then hit the road, because remember, they are Princeton's travel partner, and they will be along the way making that Cornell-Columbia swing on their end, and then Brown and Yale the following weekend. So they're 0-2 now with four straight games on the road. So that will not be an easy run for the Penn Quakers. Can they get out of that hole? Absolutely. But it will not be easy for sure, as they have their work cut out for them in what appears to be really on paper one of the deeper Ivy League seasons in quite some time. We look forward to talking to you next Tuesday night from the Alchemist and Barrister from downtown Princeton, New Jersey. We'll be here with you each and every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Derek Jones saying so long. Ral Brooks in the studio, Brett McConnell, Noah Bramlage, and Miles Stevens saying so long. And we will talk to you next Tuesday night from right here in downtown Princeton, the Alchemist and Barrister on Fox Sports Radio 920. Have a good night, everybody.